Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for us to talk live on the air. If you've got a question, you can pick up the phone and give us a call and ask your question. The number is 503-417-9595. Toll free 877-733-1011. And just so everybody knows, we do have in studio with us this morning, Sherry McCants. Sherry, welcome again.
Good morning.
And we're going to be talking about investing in your health. And before we get on that, I am going to give a quick stock report because unless you're living in a cave, you know that we are having a tremendous Trump rally. The stock markets have totally went ballistic since the election, and in actuality, the markets have gained over $3 trillion of net worth. Folks, $3 trillion. It almost, well, not quite, but it's about a third of the national debt we've ran up in the last 8 years. So pretty impressive to do that in a couple of months. Anyway, the Dow closed at on 3317 at 21005. Yeah, that's right, 21,000. It's been a long time to get to 21,000. However, if you go back and look at the last 16 years of the market, since 12/31/99, the Dow Jones has a real rate of return of 5.12% per year. Still, we're gaining, but still way behind the 80-year average of the previous 80 years before the turn of the century. The S&P closed on 3317 at 2,383. And again, the S&P is hitting all-time highs. But if we go back for 16 years and 2 months, the S&P is up 3.85% per year, almost a third of what it did the 80 years before. And then if we take a look at the NASDAQ closed on 12/31/99 at 4,069, and then it closed on 3/3/17 at 5,870. So for 16 years and 2 months, the NASDAQ, the tech market, is only up 2.74%. And NASDAQ's actually smaller companies. But the thing is, that usually should have the higher growth. It should be more aggressive, higher rates over long term. But actually, everything is kind of upside down from a market standpoint. Well, I want you to pick up the phone and give a call. We're going to come right back here in a minute, and we're going to take a quick break early because we're going to come back with Sherry McCants. We're going to talk about investing in your health and how you can do things naturally to help yourself live a better life. We'll be right back with Sherry McCants. And listen, if you've got a question for Sherry, there is no foolish question when it comes to your money or your health. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011. And again, if you're out there in the web, thanks for looking in on investingsimplifiedradio.com. We'll be right back.
Do Investing Simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
We do Investing Simplified.
This is our Spotlight on Business, where we bring you an expert on the latest in the financial world, from residential real estate to commercial property or to property tax relief. Buying or selling a business or residential property financing? Get your answers here. Now, here is our special guest.
Well, actually, this is Chuck Price, and I'm going to introduce the special guest. We have Sherry McCants, a nutrition expert. She has a website. Her website is Team-Bliss. That's Team-Bliss, BLISS.com. And Sherry can be reached at Sherry@TeamBliss, Team-Bliss.com. And in studio with us is Sherry McCants. And Sherry's been very helpful in me on my journey and trying to lose weight and get back to healthy living. And it's been working for me. So with that, Sherry, if you have something you want to say as an opening.
Sure. Actually, I do. I just kind of want to let you know a little bit about my story. And what my story is, that is my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 8. And when that happened, I was looking for answers. And I believe it was a godsend that I was introduced to a gentleman named Mark McDonald. And he is devoted his life to blood sugar stabilization. And as I went through the program, I realized that blood sugar stabilization is not just for type 1, it's not just for type 2, it's actually for everyone. When we stabilize our blood sugar, we are in the best health. We feel better, we do not have the sugar cravings, and we are in a set of, it's called homeostasis, which that all has to do with blood sugar. And when our blood sugar is between 80 and 120, that is when we are in optimal health. When our blood sugar is below 80, we are actually burning muscle. And when our blood sugar is above 120, we are storing fat. So if during the day we never stabilize blood sugar, we're never being able to live our best life.
Well, Sherry, we got a caller on the line, and then so we kind of take a priority. If you call in, we're going to answer your question. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, it says here that you're retiring in 3 years, and you have an investing question.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I've been putting a lot of money in my deferred compensation 457 at work, and I've been in a lot of high risk, just kind of moving around high, low. Well, I'm 3 years out, and I'm just wondering if I should start moving my money into cash.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm going to say something here, and I'm very positive about the Trump rally, but I also feel that sometime possibly between July and October, we could have a major correction in the market. In fact, I'm going to have Harry Dent on the third week in March, and you definitely want to listen to that show. And I'm going to talk to Harry and try to nail him down on his demographic chart, when he thinks this next decline is going to come. And 3 years out, you've got to go more conservative. Because
right.
if we had a 40 or 50% correction in the market, that's going to take you 3.5 to 5 years to catch up. And you don't want to be playing catch up when you're retiring.
Are you talking about just the money I'm investing now, or should I take all my stocks and put them in more of a conservative?
I would go more conservative right now. You might lose a 10 or 12% uptick, but you're going to avoid a big decline. And well, then once we've had a decline and you see the markets kind of coming back a little bit, then you'll want to start dollar cost averaging back in.
I got a 3-year window where I can play a catch up for 3 years and invest up to $36,000 a year. My thought was I would put that in cash for 3 years and leave all my other stuff where it's at. So when I retire, you know, if the market does decline like what you're saying, I could just draw on that cash and then leave my other stuff where it's at.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think that might be a smart strategy. The other thing is that gives you every tax advantage now to bury as much as you can, and that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah, it's funny thing because I'm getting conflict. If my investor thinks that I'm going to lose a ton of money, and he does not recommend that. He says, let her buy it, because he says the history of the market is, you know, the last turn we had was 18 months, and it came back. And that seems to be the history of the market. It goes down for a year or two, and then it comes right back up. So he says,
yeah, but I'm going to tell you something, and I've been saying on this show for all since we've been on the air, we are not in the same stock market. We are not in the same stock market, the same economy that we were before the turn of the century. In my opinion, the turn of the century, we became a world economy, no longer an American economy. Most of the stocks we're buying today that we used to buy prior to the turn of the century were truly American companies. Did the majority of their business. That's not the case anymore. We're now in the international market, and the international market for 80 years has been way more volatile than our market.
Okay.
And and this is the thing, a lot of advisors are still using the numbers from 80 years ago, which mean absolutely nothing today.
Okay.
Yeah, so I disagree with your advisor, and maybe a nice person, I don't know. But I think we're in a different economy. I would tend to tell you to be a little more conservative right now. I think your idea of banking that cash, and if you're willing to wait the 3 to 5 years for the market to come back, and you have enough other money that you don't have to worry about that money you got invested, I like your idea a lot.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yep.
So you're saying that as far as my other stuff, when I'm in, you know, I'm in international and American, just leave that as is, but the rest that I put in this catch-up, just go to cash.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're gonna write it out, and you're gonna write out the storm, absolutely. Because you got to have some money to write it out with, particularly if you're gonna quit getting a paycheck in 3 years, your life's gonna change. A lot.
Well, I'll still have a paycheck. I have it's kind of like an annuity. It's not an annuity. It's a state retirement where I get it, you know, guaranteed for the rest of my life as long as I live.
Okay.
I still have that with my current job.
Okay, so you got you'll have a base income, so you can ride the storm out. And see, the problem is, Dave, most people don't invest enough and don't have enough other lines of income where they can afford to do what you're talking about doing. They can't take that big hit, and because they need that money to live on. But if you have the advantage of being able to do that, that's a very smart strategy.
And one last question for you. What's your opinion on annuities? Do you have an option to a state annuity where I get a guaranteed 6% return with the cost of living each year?
Are you talking about PERS?
Yeah, it's through the state. Not PERS of Oregon. It's Washington State.
Okay, and so is that a guaranteed income annuity when you retire?
Yes.
Yeah, I could tell you. I tell people all the time I can't beat PERS, and I have several clients who have retired in Washington. And I tell them to take that option in Washington as well. There's no way I'm going to tell you we can do 6% or better in this marketplace. The markets haven't done it for the last 16 years. How can I tell you suddenly we're going to start doing it? So I would do that. I think that's a great idea.
I just know that it takes a long time. Like if I put down $100,000, it takes a long time to recoup that. You know, it's kind of a risk there.
Well, it's 6%. It's going to take you 16 years.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but that's isn't that going to pay you the rest of your life, though?
It will, but I was just thinking, if the market, could potentially give me a much bigger return than an annuity, but there's some thought there.
Well, here's the thing. They haven't the last 16 years.
Right.
I mean, if they had the last 16 years, if we were in the same market we were in at the turn of the century, I would tell you something totally different. But what we're in right now, I got to say, that's better than what we've done.
Right.
So, yeah, good call, Dave. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. We got a caller on the line. We've got Rebecca, who's calling from 507. I'm not sure where that is, but she's got a question for Sherry. Rebecca, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Rebecca.
I'm here. Hi. Oh,
yeah. And your question?
With somebody that has been on the plan for a while, stabilizing their blood sugar, and they've hit a plateau and they don't seem to be making any more progress, what is your best advice to break that plateau and being able to either lose weight or lose inches?
Rebecca, that's a great question. A lot of times when people are living the plan and they come to a plateau, it is very, very normal, first of all. What happens is when we're stabilizing our blood sugar, we actually become more hungry. So a lot of times what happens is people tend not to eat enough because our body is a refuel as it goes machine. So what I would tell someone is instead of eating every 3 hours, which what this program is it's called PFC every three, you're going to eat a little bit of protein, a little bit of fat, and a little bit of carb every 3 hours. What happens is as you are doing the plan, you are really metabolizing your food and you may have to eat maybe every 2.5 hours. And I also tend to let them go back to the beginning where maybe they started in detox where they were eating very, very clean food. I would have them go back and eat very clean food and also increase their exercise. And once they did that for, you know, a couple weeks, they could break through that plateau. It's a very good question, and it happens all the time.
Okay, so basically what I'm going to do is eat very, very clean and then maybe eat every 2.5 hours then.
Correct.
Okay. And then as far as my exercise, keep doing what I'm doing, or do I need to maybe do something different to change it up, or...
Yeah, absolutely.
On the exercise part.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as changing it up, I mean, our body gets used to doing the same thing all the time. So if we're always doing, you know, let's just say a spin class, you know, maybe do something different. It's called Tabata, where you do more interval training, where you are working really hard and then slowing down and then working really hard and then slowing down. That, you know, could maybe kickstart your exercise a little bit and help you to drop those few pounds.
Awesome. That sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Rebecca. That was a very good question. Speaking about that, Sherry, would you explain to our listeners what clean food is?
Absolutely. Thank you, Chuck. Yes. So clean food, first of all, it's anything that's going to be less than 5 ingredients when you're going to the grocery store. So you want to shop the outer perimeter of the store. Clean foods are things like chicken, egg whites, ground turkey, fish, and not shellfish at this point in time, salmon, cod, and that is clean food. And then all your fruits and veggies are going to be clean foods as well.
Okay. Well, listen, we've got another caller on the line. Gary's got a question about a revocable trust. Gary, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm not an attorney. My attorney's not here today. He's off this week, but I will try my best to answer your question.
Okay. I've got a revocable living trust, and I also have a brokerage account with a couple $100,000 in it. I have an IRA close to $500,000, and I have some checking and savings. It's probably about $150,000. I was wondering if it was better to put all these assets in the trust to have the beneficiary as a trust, or actually name our children as beneficiaries.
Okay, really good question. Because number one, it sounds like, and I assume you have a pretty good property value as well of real estate.
Well, Yes, I've got like six rental properties paid for, plus our home is paid for, so I've probably got $2 million worth of real estate.
Well, you absolutely need to do a revocable living trust, and you have a living trust, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, here's the thing. You should put everything you have in the living trust except your retirement plans. Your retirement plans, you should have, you own the retirement plan. Your spouse should be the primary beneficiary. Your children should be named the contingent beneficiary.
Okay, and that's on the property, but so how about
No, I'm talking about the retirement plans. On your property, you should have it in your trust and distribute it however you want the trust to distribute your assets.
Right.
But your retirement assets are not going to go through the trust. They should. You do not want to name. How old are your children?
The oldest is 60 and the youngest is 50.
Okay, well, here's why you don't name your children. You don't name the trust as a beneficiary and then have it distributed out to your kids on a retirement plan. If you do that and the proceeds come into the trust, they both would have to take the payout based on a 60-year-old. So your 50-year-old would get cheated on how long they could stretch the money out over their lifetime. They would have to take it the same as their older sibling, which is not a fair thing. So they're still both going to get left the same amount, but it's just that the 50-year-old is going to have longer to take it out and delay to paying tax on it, where the 60-year-old is going to have less time. So always name your spouse as the primary beneficiary in your retirement plans. Name your kids individually as the beneficiary. Now, the only time there would be an exception to that is if you had one that that was probably totally disabled and you needed to do a special needs trust, and that would be different. But
Okay. But
if your kids are okay and everything's fine, then don't name the trust as the beneficiary on your IRAs. Name your spouse, and then the contingent beneficiary, name your two kids.
And how about the brokerage account?
Well, the brokerage account, if it's a brokerage account, it's not a retirement plan, that should be in the name of the trust, period. And then it'll pass however your trust is set up.
Okay. All right, I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Good question, Gary. Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, Sherry, we get people that call in with all different concerns, and normally I have Carl here with the attorney and Kevin, the CPA. And speaking about that, tax people, Kevin's going to be calling in at the 8:30 hour and call in and do a little spin on taxes. But right now we're going to get back to Sherry McCants and talk about healthy living. And that was a great explanation about what clean food is, because I think people tend to go to the store. I know we did before we started working with you, and we just bought stuff. Now we don't do that anymore. So there is a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. What I teach is you want to stabilize blood sugar. And like I was saying before, you want to look for ingredients that are 5 or less. You also want to stay away from sucralose, fake sugars. Fake sugars, what will happen is it's a chemical, and our body was not made to break down chemicals. So you want to make sure you stay away from sucralose, aspartame, things like that in all your products. And like I said, go through the outer areas of the grocery store. And what I'm going to teach you is you're going to eat a little bit of protein. So a clean protein, like I said, was chicken, egg whites, fish. And what I would do is put you through a program. It's 8 weeks, and it starts with a detox. And this helps people right away, because we all live with inflated weight. And what we're going to do that first week is we're going to lose that bloat. We're going to cut out some things that bloat you, such as soy and dairy and gluten and refined sugars. And you're going to kind of see where your body feels after that. And then you're going to be able to bring back in some other foods. During that time, a female will eat 3 ounces of the protein, and they'll eat 3 ounces of carbs, and they'll have about a tablespoon of fat. And a lot of times what people are doing is they are actually cutting calories, they're cutting their carbs, and they think that they should not have as much food during the day and they'll actually lose weight. But what happens is you are slowing your metabolism down, and then the next time you go, you are going to be hungrier, and then you spike your blood sugar. So by eating in threes and stabilizing blood sugar, you will actually be able to lose weight and burn fat.
Yeah, when you say eating in threes,
yes.
Explain that.
Eating in threes is eating every 3 hours a combination of protein, fat, and carbs. Good protein, good fat, good carbs.
Okay, so balance.
Yes, the balance of that.
That's great. You know, Sherry, just to let you know, on the web, we've got people as far as Rochester and Chicago. We've got people from Roseville, California, all over the country listening to our show today on Investing Simplified Radio. So all you podcast listeners, we want to thank you for tuning into our show. We put it out over the web, so hopefully we do have people all over the country listening to our show today. And Investing Simplified is on every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you're on the East Coast, we're on 11 to 12. But we appreciate you listening to us and appreciate you listening to Sherry talk about how to eat healthy and how to reduce your blood sugar. And listen, there are so many people in America that have a blood sugar problem. We have a tremendous overweight country.
Yeah, actually, this is like the only time, this is the only generation where we can actually outlive our kids. If you think about that, I mean, we are in a state of, it's called diabesity, which is a combination of obesity and diabetes. And we need to teach people how to stabilize blood sugar. And this will help immensely.
I got a text message here and it says, what does Sherry think about fiber substitutes?
Fiber substitutes. Just basically, there's a lot of fiber in all your foods. So, you know, you got broccoli, has a lot of fiber. And I mean, if you need to add fiber to your diet, I would probably tell someone to add some psyllium husk. That is a really good fiber that you can add to your diet.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So what exactly is a fiber substitute?
Well, fiber just helps with, for one, slowing down the digestion. So it really does help with stabilizing blood sugar as well.
Okay. Okay. So when they say a fiber substitute, they're talking about something that is not a natural, or could it be a natural?
Actually, I'm not sure what this person's talking. What I would just say is what I would add into my program is a psyllium husk to make sure they're getting fiber. Otherwise, I don't know of any other fiber substitute.
Yeah. Now, when you're working with people, do you usually suggest that they get Mark McDonald's book?
That's a great question, Chuck. I do. I have it always with me. I have Mark's book. It has the whole plan in it. It has 50 recipes in it. The name of his book is Why Kids Make You Fat and How to Get Your Body Back. It's a great resource for busy parents, for busy people, and it gives the whole layout of the plan. And I tell them to read that first and then come see me and I can help them with the rest of it.
Okay, well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this at the next segment, because the next segment we're going to have Kevin Steggy talk. Kevin's our CPA, and I know he's burning the midnight oil doing taxes. So we're going to take a quick break, and Sherry's still going to be right here, so we're going to have her on the last segment of the show, and we're going to come back. But right now we're going to take a quick break on Investing Simplified and talk to Kevin Steggy, the tax investigator. And if you want to get a free question answered about taxes, give us a call, 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011. We'll be right back with Kevin Steggy, the tax investigator.
Hello. This is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Hey, Kevin, welcome out of the bear cave.
Hello, how are we doing?
Well, I don't know. That's what you're going to tell me.
Ah, okay, very good. So are we on the air? Is this going out all over everywhere?
Oh, yeah, this is all over the world, man. We've got listeners today in Chicago, Atlanta, Rochester, Pennsylvania, all over the map.
Hey, very good, very good. Well, hey, I thought I'd start out the show here by asking Sherry a quick question or making a comment. There's an old saying that says, you know, never go to the store hungry and shop for groceries hungry. But my mantra has always been different. I like to go grocery shopping when I am hungry, so that when I go to the fridge and I'm hungry, I know that what I see in there I'll like. But I guess the key is, always stay on those outside aisles, even if you're shopping hungry. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is. But I still think you should go to this grocery store not hungry.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah, and you know, at your age, Kevin, you can still get away with picking up that Snickers bar and eating it.
I've avoided Snickers my whole life. I don't think anybody can get away with too many Snickers.
That would not help you on those marathons.
No, that's for sure. Well, today on the Tax Investigator, I thought I'd start off with just one comment, and I'm borrowing this from Frank and Ernest. Do you remember those old Frank and Ernest cartoons? I haven't seen them around in a long time, but the question comes up. Is there a difference between using the short form and the long form? And yes, there's a difference. The difference is if you use the short form, the government gets your money. If you use the long form, the tax consultant gets it. So that's a little word of wisdom for those who...
That's a little CPA joke, right?
That is. I didn't hear many laughs, so maybe we'll move on here quickly.
Well, I should have hit the laugh button.
Okay.
I might have hit the flush the toilet button instead, so you wouldn't have been happy. So, because I don't know what button to push here on the board, but...
That's true. Well, today I just want to talk briefly about special needs trust. And on the Tax Investigator, and along with Carl's comments, we like to kind of talk about something that's recently come up in our practice, something that we think would be helpful to our listeners. And in general, what a special needs trust is it is some money that's set aside for a beneficiary who typically has for example, a debilitating disease of the body or the mind. And what it does is it provides funds for that person and their care and their upkeep. There's some technical terms here that we should or shouldn't use to make the trust actually work. But what it does is it keeps the assets out of that person's off their balance sheet so that they can still receive state assistance. and they won't lose that assistance. If you get too many assets, you're going to lose the state assistance for their upkeep and care, and then you can just use the earnings or some of the money from the trust to help supplement the person's life. Typically, we see these when a parent maybe has a child that needs lifelong care, and they set aside an inheritance, or maybe it's a grandparent, but they set aside an inheritance instead of going directly to the child, and all of a sudden the child has this lump of assets. Now they're not capable of properly spending, making financial decisions, and then they also lose their state assistance because they have too many assets. Or maybe a brother is taking care of a sister, so on and so forth. These are the two most common ones that I see.
Hey, Kevin, we've got Robert's got a question on inheritance tax, which is right in your sweet spot. So we're gonna grab Robert's call here. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and your question about the state tax, inheritance tax?
Yes, well, I live in Oregon, and of course we have the $1 million. Anything over $1 million is supposed to be taxed, right? It's my understanding.
Yes.
Okay, my wife and I together, we have an estate that's worth about $1.5 million, $1.5 million. So I'm thinking that when I pass, if either of us pass away before the other, and if I wind, let's say, for example, if I pass away and I give my portion of the assets to my wife, she'll have $1.5 million. So if she's the second person to die, then she'll have to pay tax, I guess, in the $500,000 over the $1 million. But if I were to die not give her the entire amount and bring her below $1 million and give the rest to, say, my children, is that a good, is that possible, and is that a good...
Well, you know, really, your question falls more into Carl's area, and he's not here today, but Kevin, I think this sounds like a perfect example of somebody that could do a living trust, and you could set up a living trust. Now, do you have a spouse, do you have children as well, right?
I do, but see, I'm not going the living trust route because I've arranged both my wife and I arranged our assets so that everything is a beneficiary. So we've established beneficiaries to avoid probate. So we didn't really need the living trust. I even have our property. We can also, there's a trust transfer on deed trust. So everything is beneficiary designated. And my children are all they're like 30 and 40, so there's no need to give them guidance or on how to spend their money in the future. So,
mm-hmm. Well, by going the route of giving your share directly to the children, that would work. The only other reason we would see the trust used would be for basically your share would go into a trust. Your wife would still get use of the funds. She would still have the ability to, she would get the income from your share of the estate, and she could typically invade principal. So in a sense, she still has $1.5 million. It's just half is set aside. And so if your children are trustworthy and you have no problem giving them $750,000 carte blanche, and that they will take care of your wife if something were to happen, that's not a bad way to go. The trust would ensure that the $1.5 million would still be hers. So that's kind of still the difference. Yes, you've avoided probate, how you've set things up, but there are other reasons for the trust.
No, I understand that. I do have full confidence in my children, and that if need be, in other words, they'll get say $750. My wife will get $750, which my wife will have an annuity, so she'd be adequately taken care of. So I don't have any problem, going that route. I just wanted to make sure that I avoided, the tax on the $500,000 above the $1 million, which
yep.
is probably. How much would that be? I mean, that's probably fairly substantial, right?
That'd be 10% of the $500,000.
So it'd be $50,000 then.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty good savings.
Yep, right. Absolutely. So it's, it's definitely worth taking one of those steps and getting each of you under a million, and it can easily be done, and I would say that's not a bad way to go. And even if you were to give the full $1.5 million to your wife, or your half to the wife, mm-hmm. even, you know, you don't know when you're going to die, or she's going to die, I should say, but she could even gift $501,000 on her deathbed to the children, and there's still no tax owed. So that's a little riskier way, but if somebody has missed the first step when the first person dies, that sometimes can be the second step, but there's better methods also.
Okay, so. Great. Could I ask one more question?
Sure.
If I'm establishing 529 plans, college education saving plans for my grandchildren, is that taken out of the estate? It was my understanding that it is.
Yes, 529 is for that should be there. That should be under the kids' names, I believe. I'm not 100% certain on that. That would be one I'd have to pop the book open and see. But that sounds correct.
Yeah, so they are the beneficiaries of the 529, but I still have control over it, which is kind of a beautiful thing in a way, because my understanding is that once I donate to the 529, it's taken out of my name for estate purpose or for tax purpose, inheritance tax purposes.
Yeah, I believe that's right, because if you give too much, then you'd have to do a gift tax return on a 529, and there's ways to avoid some things. So I think you're absolutely right. You're still the trustee of the assets, but it's out of your estate.
Okay, great. Listen, this is really great information. First time I called in, and you guys really helped me out a lot. I appreciate it.
Good. Thanks for the call, Robert. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Kevin, there you go. Good job.
Yep. Very good. Well, I will just wrap up my segment here in the next minute, just on the special needs trusts. Just wanted to make the comment, and I'll get down to the executive summary of it all, is we get the question. So say the special needs trust makes $50,000 of income in a year. Is and you have to, and say you spend $20,000 on the beneficiary. Well, $20,000 is going to go out to the beneficiary on a K-1 and pass out that income. Is that going to jeopardize the beneficiary's public assistance? And the answer is no. Income does not. And I'm going to say generally the answer is no, because I'm sure there's various programs that you want to look at very specifically that the beneficiary is benefiting from, state programs, and know your situation beforehand. But in general, passing income out isn't going to be an issue. What they look at is assets, and particularly many of the more common programs, such as Medicaid, they look at assets at the end of each month. Say they have over $2,000 in their bank account. Well, that could jeopardize their state assistance. But if we're just passing out income and there's actually not assets that is being looked at on a monthly basis, then they should be okay. So that's how the special needs trust works. Definitely, if you have one of these or you need questions answered, give us a call at Baker & Coulson, 503-666-5569.
Great job, Kevin. I hope you get a little bit of time off today to relax, because I know you're busy working.
No time off.
Okay, nope. Well, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Very good. Great show, guys.
Okay, thanks. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Sherry McCants. We're going to talk about investing in your health. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents, so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
This is our Spotlight on Business, where we bring you an expert on the latest in the financial world, from residential real estate to commercial property or to property tax relief. Buying or selling a business or residential property financing. Get your answers here. Now here is our special guest.
We're back with Sherry McCants, nutritionist, and I got to tell you, this is something that is a very simple plan that Sherry has that you can do to help yourself, and it's just not that complicated. It's actually very simple, and I can tell you from experience, you won't be hungry.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. I'm just going to let everyone know, again, to go to my website. It's team, TEAM-Bliss, BLISS, .com. BLISS stands for Balanced Living Instability with Support, or the S can be Sherry. The reason why BLISS is so important is we really do want a balanced life. And I think if you think of BLISS, that's how you can think of living, is balanced living. On that website, you're going to see a lot of people that are living the plan and how it's working. You'll see before and after pictures. You'll see testimonies and see how the program works. So just like Chuck said, it is very simple. It's a very simple plan. I'm not going to say it's easy. You know, I don't think anything's easy in life, and but it's worth it. Your health's worth it. One thing let you know is, you know, you're going to eat an hour upon waking. You want to wake up that body. A lot of people are going out there just having their coffee for breakfast, and they're not fueling their body properly. And you want to start in the morning, because that is where you're going to start burning. You want to get your metabolism humming.
You know, Sherry, I got to tell you, we were talking about this coming over to the show this morning, that I have not had a cup of coffee since July when I started working with you. I went cold turkey off of coffee, and I was drinking a lot of coffee. I mean, you know, 4 to 5 cups or more a day, and probably closer to 10. And I have totally went dry with no coffee at all. And I don't miss the caffeine infusion in my body. I have plenty of energy. I don't need coffee. I drink a lot of water. I drink a ton of water. My water I'm drinking every day. I try to drink some a little bit every hour, and I consistently drink, try to drink it every 15 minutes or so, have a little bit of water, keep my body going. But I don't miss the caffeine. I haven't had to have coffee in the morning. I know we get that feeling that we've got to have our cup of coffee to wake us up in the morning, give us that shot of caffeine to get it going. But I tell you what, I don't have to have it.
Oh, I love that. That's a great testimony from Chuck about that. I have to say, I still love my coffee. However, that's the great thing. And this program can do so many things for people. It can help people, with energy, stabilizing blood sugar, lose weight, no sugar cravings. And, it really just helps you learn how to eat correctly. There's such a difference between healthy and correctly. I see so many people, even at the gym that I'm at, walk around and they have a banana, and that's what their snack is. Now, I'm not saying that banana is not a great snack. It is. However, if they just eat that banana, they are going to store that banana as fat, because that is just a carb, and that will spike your blood sugar. So what I teach is you want to do eating in threes, which is you want to have a protein with that banana, and you want to have a little bit of fat.
Yeah, absolutely. Having balance.
Absolutely.
You know, the problem with us Americans, and I think it's just human nature, you don't worry about it until you have the problem. Every one of us know people who have been diabetics. We've heard stories of people who have lost their legs because of diabetes. gone blind. All kinds of ailments can come from having a problem with your blood sugar. And, you know, the thing is, it's very easy to stabilize if you just eat the right way. Now, sometimes there's other health problems that could create problems, but normally you can stabilize that. And how important is stabilization of blood sugar?
Well, it's really really important, and it brings me back to a client that I'm just working with right now that I'm so excited for him that he's really seen the light bulb. He has to check his blood sugars all the time, and since he's implemented my program, he sent me a text the other day and said, I cannot even believe how much better I feel because he is in that range of 80 to 120. I mean, he didn't know what it felt like to be in that range. He was always in the like 400 range.
Wow.
And so it was just amazing. So when you stabilize your blood sugar, you are in a balance. It's called homeostasis. And that's where you will feel your best.
Well, somebody just texted me another question here, and this is your favorite question because we talked about this last time you were on the show. Is peanut butter a protein or fat?
I love that question. Yes, peanut butter is a fat. Peanut butter does not have all the essential amino acids it takes to be a protein. It's a great fat, but you still need to combine it with a protein and a carb in order for it to be balanced.
So you know, I never realized that till you told me, but one of the diets, and I've tried about all of them, one that I did before, one of our snacks was to eat, you know, 10 peanuts.
Yeah. A lot of people do. They'll have a handful of almonds and they're like, oh, I'm having my protein. This is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how it was presented as protein.
Yeah. And again, it's a great fat. So have your almonds. A man would have an ounce of almonds and a woman would have a half an ounce of almonds with their meal. Like you could have a really good turkey, like a no nitrate, you know, even deli turkey. I like to use boar's head because it's a great one. Low sodium and you can have either an apple or some other kind of fruit and nuts. And that's a great snack you can have at your desk. What I teach is called MRFK, which is a mobile ready food kit. You always want to have that with you so that when that 3 hours comes up, you're not caught. That is when you're going to want to go through the drive-through or pick up, you know, go to the vending machine, pick up a Snickers. So you want to be prepared. So I teach people how to be prepared all day long with your mobile ready food kit.
And Sherry, one of the other things that has really been amazing for me, because I used to put a ton of salt and stuff on my food, and now I don't use any. I mean, I haven't used salt for so long, I don't know what it's like. But how bad is sodium?
Well, sodium is what bloats us. I mean, and so I start, again, the program with cutting out salt completely that first week. And then the second week, all my clients say, wow, I can't even hardly have salt. Or my food is so salty. So we really have enough salt in our foods. We don't have to add any. And they have a great product out called Mrs. Dash, no salt. So look at that. Add those kind of seasonings to your food, and you will not even miss the salt. And you'll feel a lot better, and you'll look a lot better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we use that when we're grilling chicken, or if we grill steak or whatever we're grilling. We use that, and there's no salt in it at all.
Yeah, and the other thing that I like to talk about is dressings on salads. There's so many people that think, I'm doing a great job having a salad, and I'm putting all this dressing on. And I teach, you know, just try to use some olive oil and make your own dressing at home. This will cut down on cost as well. Olive oil and lemon are great, and avocado oil and lemon on your salad is great. Or just add some mustard and other spices.
Okay, well, we've only got about a minute to go. So, Sherry, how does somebody get a hold of you?
So you can get a hold of me by going to my website at team, TEAM-Bliss, BLISS.com. And you get 6 free recipes, and you also get an ebook on why dieting fails and talks about the program. Thank you.
And, you know, listen, if you go on my website at pfgwm.com, you can sign up for my newsletter. And every week in our newsletter, we have Sherry's fat burning recipe, and you get them for free. Free is a good price. Just go to the website, send us an email at chuck@pfgwm.com, and we'll send you the newsletter.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Hey, Gene, Dr. Price. Hey, Gene, Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
Kilmeade, Laura Ingram, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, The Dana Show, and Lars Larson. This is Portland's right place to talk. Freedom 970, KUFO AM, Portland.